Hello and welcome to Focus on Business. I'm your host, Lee Strickland. On today's program, my guests are Heather McBee of Project Music, a music business accelerator located in Nashville, Tennessee, and Chris McMurtry of Dart Music, a graduate of the Project Music program. Let me tell you about Heather and Chris and Project Music and Dart Music before we get started. Heather McBee has 25 years of experience in marketing, sales, and operations in the music and radio industries, and she was the first intern at B&A Entertainment. She rose through the ranks with the now Sony Nashville organization to ultimately become VP of Marketing and Web Initiatives, and during her tenure, she built the digital business team within the organization, paving the label's way to take charge of developing the Nashville digital music space. And McBee has served as operations director for Cumulus Media's America's Morning Show, hosted by Blair Garner. And in that role, she helped launch the nationally syndicated program, grow the enterprise, and she acted as the show's liaison for record labels and affiliates. Heather now manages her own music marketing and branding company, The Art of Perspective, and serves as the National Entrepreneur Center's contact, and she specifically works with Project Music to incubate tech startups that desire to work with the music industry. Now, Chris joins us as the founder and CEO of Dart Music. He began in music by playing the guitar and in the band Airline, and eventually was introduced to classical music. He fell in love with music and went on to earn his degree in music theory from MTSU, and he has been worked for classical record labels and did a four-year stint working for Apple. Thanks, guys, for being on the show. And I'm going to let you kind of give us the background of Project Music and Dart Music and just kind of introduce yourselves and what we need to know about you and these two wonderful initiatives.
Well, this is Heather. And to start with, Project Music started out as an initiative here at the Nashville Entrepreneur Center with the purpose of having an accelerator program that would help eight music tech companies launch. It is the first program of its kind to ever launch that's solely focused on innovation around the music industry. And out of the success of the first year of the program, that then led to the Nashville Entrepreneur Center creating year-round support for music-minded entrepreneurs that are building music-driven startups.
So what do you mean by music technology?
Music tech can really be anything that is technology-based that somehow impacts the experience of listening to music, engaging with music, delivering music, etc. So long as it is technology and it's touching music in some way, shape, or form, that's what we mean by music tech.
And so how did the idea for having the accelerator truly get its genesis? What drove the Entrepreneur Center to decide this is something we need to focus on and be the first one to do it in the country?
Well, Nashville, first of all, is the epicenter of the music industry, especially when it comes to country music, but there's a great deal more going on here. Like New York and LA, we have representatives here in Nashville from all of the three major label groups, a number of the independent label groups, as well as all the PROs, major publishing houses, all the major booking agencies like CAA and William Morris, all here within about a 5-minute drive of the Nashville Entrepreneur Center. So music for many, many, many years has been integral to Nashville's economy. And the EC is an entity that is built by the community for the community. So they recognize the need to support a key area of the Nashville economy.
So you said that they started out, your first year was to incubate eight companies. Dart Music is one of them. So Chris, tell us about Dart Music and how you became to be in the music Project Music initiative.
Absolutely, yeah. I was born and raised here in Nashville, so I'd always been a part of the music industry, even before I realized I was a part of the music industry. I like to joke that I was surprised once I got outside of Nashville that not every family gathered around and played guitar together. Being born and raised here in Nashville, music has always been a part of my life.
You're saying it's in your DNA?
That's exactly right. Yes, absolutely. With DART,
Tell everyone what DART is and what DART focuses on.
Absolutely. So DART is the first fully automated distribution platform built specifically for classical music. Those types of distribution platforms have existed for over 12 years for other genres. Great services like TuneCore, CD Baby, DistroKid, Ditto, to name a few. Through those platforms, I had distributed, 22 albums in total. Using my TuneCore account and CD Baby account. Very happy customer of them. But when I got a degree in music theory and recorded my first classical piece, I was very excited, logged into my TuneCore account, only to find that classical wasn't an option. And I was a bit baffled. And so I reached out to their support to find that the reason was because the metadata was too complex. And working at Apple at the time, I worked there for almost 9 years, reached out to some folks in iTunes to say, what does TuneCore mean that the metadata is too complex? And they gave me a style guide that was, at the time, 67 pages.
Oh, wow. Thick.
It's since grown. but at that point, ask the question, why isn't there a better way? How come these other platforms can't account for this complex metadata? And had the great fortune of going to work for a classical distributor called Naxos of America after that, to find that they were accounting for this complex metadata with 30 musicologists. And so I had my answer. This was why TuneCore, as awesome as they were, don't account for complex metadata because the overhead is very, very high. And so what we have built is an automated platform to account for music metadata, whether it's complex metadata like that of specifically classical music, or whether it's just trying to make sure that the right ISRC codes are accounted for, which is how a artist or a musician gets paid for their music, is by that particular code.
So when you're talking about metadata, is it the patterns and the way the music comes together? Is it the signals or all of the above or something else?
Yeah, great question. So metadata is, most simply put, data that describes other data. We'll use the number one right now. So Taylor Swift, 1989, Shake It Off, right?
Okay.
So that would be album artist song title that describes the music that you're listening to. For classical, it can get quite a bit more complex. One of my favorite pieces is Beethoven's Third Symphony. So if we take that same format, album artist song title, and apply it to that classical example, you're looking at Ludwig van Beethoven, Symphony No. 3 in E-flat major, Opus No. 55, the Eroica, Movement No. 1, Allegro con brio, as conducted by Leonard Bernstein, as performed by the Boston Symphony Orchestra, and it goes on and on and on. And
so you have you have more adjectives and nouns than you have space in a normal system.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah. And then what's important? You know, what should fit on a 4.5-inch iPhone screen? You know, what does the user need to see displayed? If I'm in a streaming service like Spotify, what do I search for? Do I search for the conductor? Do I search for the orchestra? Do I search for Beethoven? And then what comes up when I do search for it? So those are the types of problems that we're solving with that.
And so you've created an online platform that handles all of that data, but you're saying it also handles less complex metadata, and so you could distribute any kind of music?
That's exactly right, yeah. So we operate on the assumption that if you solve the hardest problem, then you solve a lot of other problems in the doing, you know. And that tends to be true whether you're talking about math or whether you're talking about music metadata.
So how did participating in the Project Music Accelerator impact what you were doing in your business?
Oh, gosh, there is no way that we could exist without Project Music and the Nashville Entrepreneur Center as a whole. There are several programs that operate out of the EC is what we call it, one of which is called pre-flight. And pre-flight is not as much of a commitment as a full-fledged accelerator like Project Music or Jumpstart Foundry. Pre-flight is one night a week, and you basically go one night a week to have your idea, torn apart
and
put back together again a thousand different ways. And
right.
And so out of pre-flight, really vetted the idea, and it was suggested. I like to say I stalked Heather, actually.
In a good way, right, Heather?
In a good way.
I don't know. Yeah.
But I didn't think we had a shot in the world at getting into an accelerator like Project Music, and so. We applied, and we're extremely excited to get in, and it's gone very well. But we really had three goals going into Project Music. I was hoping that someone could teach a country boy from Nashville what it's like to run a business, so that I could learn how to actually create a company. And then this being Music City. Was hoping to have the opportunity to make connections and meet folks within the industry to see if there are other applications for the problem that we're solving, as well as get the buy-in and of labels and PROs and get on board with that. And then also we had hoped to have the opportunity to raise some money to fund the idea. And Project Music delivered in spades for all three. It was incredible and continues to be incredible. I'm getting to talk to you right now because of Project Music.
Well, Heather, from your perspective, what was it when Chris was stalking you that made him stand out besides the stalking? And what did Dart Music have in their concept that you said, okay, we're gonna back you and we're going to make these resources available?
Mm-hmm. I think that's actually a really easy question to answer, in that Chris has the qualities that we look for in most entrepreneurs, which is his attitude and his persistence and basically the resilience. Whenever somebody would say, I don't have time for you, he somehow convinced us that we had time for him, and he just kept coming back. And those are really important things just with an entrepreneur in general, and that's the drive and passion that we look for that attracts us to somebody like Chris and getting involved with them here at the Entrepreneur Center, but also when we're going through applications for a program like Project Music. And a lot of those characteristics are what came into play when we looked at Chris's application for Project Music. You know, he has the idea itself was very unique. We did have some naysayers simply because of the size of the classical music market, and none of us really as a group on the investment side really understanding what kind of impact a program like DART could have on the music industry at large. And we took a leap of faith as a group of investors and offered for DART and Chris and his team to join the first year of Project Music, and he promptly taught us all about how important metadata was, and we taught him how it could benefit other genres, not just classical.
So when you're working with these companies, what's the first step that you take them through? He said pre-flight, but how does that work, and how do you map out what each organization is going to go through?
Well, Pre-flight was actually a separate program than the actual accelerator. Pre-flight is a 13-week program that's kind of a pre-accelerator program here at the EC, and it basically gives people that have a day job that don't want to quite quit that day job yet, but they want to kick the tires in their idea to see if it's viable. And that was, Chris did that project or that program on his own. That certainly was not a requirement to getting into Project Music. Project Music actually had applications from all over the world, not just here in Nashville. It did help Chris that he went through pre-flight, because it gave him a leg up on everybody else that was going through the program. DART already had a lot of foundational things built related to who their customer is, what they were trying to accomplish, and even on the technology side.
So what is the first step to getting into Project Music? The application, what's your website for that, and when's the next application process?
Absolutely. The first step to getting in the program is, well, first of all, learning about it. So going to the projectmusic.co. So it's just simply projectmusic.co. All the information about the program that we offer here at the EC for music-driven startups and the accelerator are on that website, and that includes everything from the investment terms to be part of the program to what you'll get out of the program. And so with that, once folks complete their application, which we are currently in an application period right now, those applications close on November 6th. It is an involved process, so if there's anybody out there listening that's curious, thinks they would be a fit for the accelerator program, my suggestion, and I'll speak for Chris too, his suggestion is get on it now. Don't wait till November 5th to apply for something that the applications close on November 6th, because it is an involved process.
And so you have sponsors for the accelerator, for the program. How is that working, and who's on board as sponsors and things?
Yeah, the money actually comes from two different parts, and the Nashville Entrepreneur Center is a not-for-profit organization. So all of the programming that we do, we have to raise the funding to support it. So for Project Music, on the sponsorship side, the Country Music Association, CMA, is on board for a second year as our title sponsor. And then we have platinum sponsors from YouTube and Launch Tennessee. And Launch Tennessee is a government-funded entity here in Tennessee that funds accelerator programs like ours throughout the state.
Well, fabulous.
So those are the sponsors that we have announced so far. We'll have another announcement coming up probably in about a week and a half, as to who the rest of the sponsors are. And then each of the teams that go through Project Music will receive a minimum of $30,000 in seed funding. And that seed funding comes from a pool of investors, many of which come from the Nashville music community or the music community at large.
And so who's working with these teams that are coming in, like DART, whenever they come in? How does that process flow, and what could a participant expect?
Well, the first thing we do is on a Sunday, which next year it will be on January 31st, the selected teams will come here to the EC, and we'll start torturing them through about the first week of the program.
She means educating. Educating and scaring, right?
Yeah, actually, first week is, you know, affectionately called boot camp week. Even the whole program, though, is like a boot camp. But first week is definitely even more of a boot camp, because we put the startups through about 20 hours of education about the music industry and the music industry at large, and also about 20 hours of the customer development process. And basically breaking down any misconceptions that the startups may have about the music industry. And that's what that first week is all about. And it's funny, when I first started here at the EC, they thought I was going to come in and I was going to teach all these classes about the music industry, fill everybody in. And all I did was call my friends and have them come over and do it.
So now, I knew you were a smart woman, Heather.
Yeah. Yeah, so we had many professionals from different aspects of the music industry come in and actually do panels, speak to the teams, but also mentor for the startups. And that's one of the key components, and Chris can tell you about the value of the mentor program. The EC itself has a pool of about 500 business leaders, startup operators, technology specialists that mentor here. And then in addition to that pool of people, we add another 25 to 40 music industry mentors to support Project Music.
So, Chris, how was it working with the mentor, and what did they bring to the table for you?
Oh, gosh. Not just what did they bring, but what do they continue to bring? Not just the mentors and the industry personnel and the advisors. But the teams, all eight of us teams, So we really effectively, I think it's a true statement to say, became a family. You know, we continue to speak daily, to work together. Heather has a diagram that she drew up probably around week two that shows how almost every facet of the industry is being touched by these eight companies. A big part of what was brought was family. Another part was just what I like to call the linking of arms here in Nashville.
Right.
Because I don't think it's blowing smoke just to say that this could only happen here in Nashville. As Heather mentioned early in the interview about everything being within 5 miles of the EC for the entire music industry. That is absolutely true, but the attitude of linking arms and wanting to constantly better ourselves in Nashville and the music industry, wanting to be better, not just for the artists, but for the fans as well, you know, that is what we've gotten out of Project Music, is a unified front, an avant-garde, if you will, of just bringing the music industry into 2016, you know, and providing more transparency, getting things taken care of faster, whether it's reporting or distribution or payout, you know, it is at its core innovation, and so the unity within the innovation is what has really made it special. And one last thing I'll say on that is everyone with other accelerators kept warning us, hey, come April 23rd, all this awesomeness you've been receiving is going to end. We heard that over and over. Like, you're going to be on your own, so get ready.
And, you get booted out on that day, right? Okay.
Exactly. Yeah, it's like, you know, it's...
You know what's funny? I can't get rid of these guys. They keep coming back.
So you're creating boomerang businesses? They're like kids. They just keep returning home?
Well, we invite them back. That's one of the cool things. Because of the success of the program, they hired me full-time here at the EC to provide this support for other startups that may not make it into the accelerator or that are interested in being in future accelerators. And what that's doing is that's giving us the opportunity to build alumni programming as well. So we've already had the first year's startups come back in. The alumni came in. We provided additional learning sessions that were follow-on to what they experienced during the accelerator program. But then we also did something fun. It was called the CEO Therapy Session. So we had and it was You Are Not Alone was the theme. And based on the feedback that we got out of it, that's something I see happening probably once every quarter here, where we bring the alumni back together, give them an opportunity to socialize, but also an opportunity to catch up on where they all each other is in progress. Not that they're not already doing that pretty much every day, but exposing them to those that have come before them. And by May of next year, we're hopefully here going to have another 8 to 10 startups to be in the ranks of the Project Music alumni. And so that family will just keep growing, which is, it's kind of fun to watch because it's very much a microcosm of the Nashville music industry, which is highly competitive, but highly competitive and highly community-driven at the same time.
It's friendly competition. Right.
Yeah, co-opetition.
Co-opetition. That's a good word for it. So when you're doing the class, do you just have one class a year right now?
Of the accelerator, yes. We have one class per year. And like I said, we have to do all the fundraising and everything to support that. So you can kind of do the math of what the raise just on the investment side is. If you have eight teams each getting $30,000, we have to go out and raise that money from the investment community.
Right. So you're basically raising a quarter of a million for the fund. And are you raising it on a, individual company basis, or you're just getting a fund of basically a quarter of $1 million, and they trust, the investors trust you to allocate it to the right companies? How are you handling that?
That's almost what's happening. Okay. Yes, we are creating a fund. So there's an investment fund that a number will have. I believe we're at 12 investors for the new year. We have one more week of fundraising to go before we make the declaration on what the final amount is that we'll be able to give each team. But yes, it's the investors put their money in a pool, and then we go through, and once the applications close, we go through a multi-layer selection process to make sure that we don't miss anything and that the best of the best are rising to the top. And then the investors actually have the final say as a group as to what applications we say yes to.
So you're basically doing a due diligence process for the investment fund too, and during your screening process.
Correct.
So if you raise $300,000, does that mean you give more money to each company, or do you bring in an extra company?
That's why we won't be declaring a final number until after the final selections are made. But right now, what we do know is we have the funding to be able to give eight teams a minimum of $30,000. Okay. But from there, there's so many variables, because we could take as little as six startups to as many as 10.
Right. So you're going to say you're not going to just fill the slots because you wanted 10. If you have six as all that's qualified and makes the screening, you take six.
That is correct.
Okay.
And keep in mind, I've got a room full of 12 investors that all have opinions. So it's very possible that it could only be six at the end of the day.
Right. And that's something. Chris, did they talk you through that process too and educate you as a participant on what it's like to deal with your early investors and then to go through other investment rounds?
You know, I really felt like they covered all the bases, including how to talk to investors. Was it twice a week we would meet with investors, right?
I think
yeah,
so, yeah.
Yeah. It was a very – Heather put together quite a regimented schedule, actually. It was very effective. Generally, we had – education or program Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, and then Tuesday and Thursday to build the business and to act on what we learned, you know, those other 3 days. I would say a big portion of it was talking to investors, how to pitch, how to get to the meat and potatoes of the business. You know, I think we probably had like four different versions of our pitch, a 5-second, a 30-second, a 2-minute, and the actual 7-minute with slides. And, you know, presentation was a big part of it, for sure.
So you started doing it in your sleep, is what you're saying.
Oh, one of the teams, Ear IQ, they had a Beach Boys song in their pitch deck. And, you know, it's Good Vibrations was the theme song of Project Music 2015, for sure. And so not only is the pitch going in your sleep, but everybody else's pitch is going in your sleep, you know. So like Heather, for instance, could give you all eight of our pitches. Like, you just say go, and she'll give you all eight of them.
All right, Heather.
Only the minute and a half long version.
Oh, okay.
I gave up on the rest.
So when you're working with this dynamic, you're giving them education on how to start the business, how to do their accounting, the legal agreements, everything that they need to know about how to be in business and take their idea into a practical business model?
Well, a lot of that comes out of the EC, because, yes, all of that is happening. But, you know, the EC, how many mentors are you guys up to now?
400 or 500.
Yeah, like 500 active mentors here in the Entrepreneur Center, and that includes accountants and CFOs and operations personnel and lawyers. And so, in addition to the accelerator, you also get the benefits of the EC itself. It's just that Heather has also vetted I forget the number, but 20, 25, that are music industry specific. But a big part of our team grew out of those mentors and advisors, or an important part of our team grew out of the mentors and advisors here. I think that answered your question.
Yes, it did. It's all right. So what's the next step for Dart Music? You're out of the program, and you're doing what now with Dart?
We are out of the program. We have our own office here, and we officially launched last Friday, which was incredibly exciting. The response from the industry has been wonderful. We were just in Hypebot this morning and Billboard last week, so folks are finding out about us.
And so our listeners can go to your website, and your website is?
DartMusic.com. And because of the launch, we have to celebrate it. If you sign up right now before October 31st to use the platform, then we will distribute your album for free. With Dart, you always keep 100% of the revenues, but if you sign up right now, it's not going to cost anything. And you'll still keep 100% of the revenues.
So normally there's a fee. It's a fee-based system rather than a percentage of sales.
Exactly right. Okay. Yeah. So, and that fee is $40 per album per year.
Wow, reasonable.
I think so.
Yeah, that's great. So you're out there. You're getting all the industry recognition. And so, what is that next big step that Dart wants to take?
We want to hear from users. We want customers to tell us what they love, what they hate, what we can do better, and what are other pain points that we can help take care of them with. Out of our 10 employees, 8 of us are musicians. We're of the same tribe, and are focusing on the pains that we have felt, but we need to hear from you. We need to know what we can do better to take care of you. So our focus right now is to get as many people using the platform as possible so that we can best learn what to build.
Sounds great. So Heather, how do you see Project Music and the Entrepreneur Center going forward with the program? Do you ever see it doing more than one program a year? And what do you need to have that accomplished? And if people are interested in being investors or mentors in the program, what's that step for them to take?
I'll probably forget the second half of that question, so you'll have to remind me. But on the first half, what the future holds for Project Music. Following the first year of the Accelerator program, I actually went to the leaders here at the EC, and one of the Project Music founders, Joe Galante, who's a 40-plus year veteran of the music industry, I went to them with a proposal that spelled out more depth in the community related to what Project Music could do. And that covers everything from curriculum connections, capital, as well as a charity component. So it's, instead of going more quantity on the number of accelerator programs, it's about getting more in-depth with the industry and the marketplace and the Nashville music community. So on the curriculum side, the pre-flight program that Chris mentioned, that's a business-agnostic program. And what we have done now is I'm actually in that class each week working with the music-driven startups. So out of 17 teams going through pre-flight program, we have 4 that are music-centric. So word is getting out that we have a presence here to support the music-minded entrepreneurs. On the connection side, we are adding to the EC's mentor pool so that we have a steady group of mentors from the music industry that we can refer these music-driven startups to. And then same thing on the Capitol side. We are working with different aspects of the music industry, not just here in Nashville, but in other markets to find follow-on funding for startups that come through programs. And one of the big things about Project Music, no matter which part of the program you touch, we are all about building companies on the foundation that if they use music content in their platform, that their business models and their revenue models are based on the foundation of properly compensating the rights holders and the content creators. And that's something that rings very loud with the music community, no matter what market you're in. And then the charity component is really just about tying our program back to local schools as well as other charity components and opportunities, doing things like a day of service on Martin Luther King Day with the alumni and tying to some of the other music-driven entities here in Nashville, like a Leadership Music, to do programs like that.
Do you see Project Music expanding into replicating to work with other incubators throughout the country or providing the model for doing it?
Yes, we are actively building a foundation of the Project Music program so that we can take it into other markets and either administer the program ourselves or potentially license it to other entrepreneur centers out there.
So when you're looking at those other entrepreneur centers to team up with or identifying those, what seems, from your experience in running the program and the Entrepreneur Center there in Nashville, what seems to be the characteristics that you're going to have to look for to make sure that they have that they're positioned and equipped to follow that model?
That's a really easy question to answer. They have to be cities that have a vibrant music scene and some degree of access to the music industry.
So,
Go ahead. I was just going to say, those markets are out there. There was a recent study published by MEDEM and the Canadian Music Association that specifically talked about how a city can become a music city. Obviously, Nashville is the original Music City USA, but cities like in Austin, Chicago, New York, LA, obviously, that have these bubbling under music communities of musicians looking for ways to get their music heard and out there, those markets are all ripe for a program like this.
So what are the long-term goals beyond just the next program and launching out? Where do you want Project Music to be 10 years from now?
Wow, 10 years from now, that's a long stretch.
The music industry should be perfected. Thanks
for that. There you go. What Chris said.
Yeah.
No, I think Project Music in 10 years should certainly, as a brand, be on the tip of the tongue of everybody in the music industry at that point, because this is all about creating innovation and inspiring others that are actually still in the industry doing this day in and day out. The cool thing about Project Music, and I use cool, that's kind of the wrong word, but the magical part of the program is if you're running a record label, you basically have time to run that record label, manage your staff, hire artists, build marketing plans, and get that music distributed. The day in and day out of a music executive does not leave them time to be innovative or be creative about solving their pain points. And that's why we've been able to get so many people in the music industry invested in Project Music, is we have folks like Chris that are willing to have a lot of sleepless nights and invest himself and his family's time and his friends' time in solving pain points of the music industry without the distractions or without a corporation saying you've got to do something a particular way.
So, Chris, what are you seeing from your peers, and what's the excitement level for the next generation, the next class coming in and making a connection to the garage band and the individual performer setting out there wanting to get their music out? What's there, and what are those programs and those outreaches that you're going to do and your fellow alumni are going to do?
Well, I've had a lot of coffees lately, and a few lunches. It's been exciting. Folks reaching out, those that have been pleased with how many of them aren't from Nashville, so that word is getting out, you know, with that. But as far as, you know, what are we doing as alumni, I think it's any given week. You know, like tonight, for example, three of us, Dart on the list, actually it's four, Dart on the list, Karaoke Q, and Remix Hits are presenting at a music tech meetup here in town. David Blumenthal, who is part of the music tech, the biggest music tech meetup in Boston, just relocated down here and is bringing that here to Nashville. And so, you know, so this week is where we're getting together and we're presenting our products, the value that we offer to the community that shows up here as part of the meetup.
Interestingly enough, it's their first meeting here in Nashville, and they're doing it here at the Entrepreneur Center.
Outstanding.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think in Boston, he said they have like 700 members, and I think they're already well into 100 anyway here in Nashville. So, you know, that's akin to Nashville is we like helping one another because you win in the end, you know. As alumni, what are we doing? It's week to week. We're looking for ways to work together. You know, we want to root for companies that are solving problems that the eight of us didn't hit this first time around. I don't think it's an exaggeration that 10 years from now, because of accelerators like Project Music, and I think a few others have popped up, in Chicago and San Francisco and New York, that you know, believing in innovation and putting your money where your mouth is going to go a long, long way at making the fan experience and the artist experience better.
So if you had to leave everyone today, we've got about 10 minutes, and we'll each give you a chance to answer this question. What three things would you have wished someone had told you before you started down this process, and what have been their three biggest successes? So, Heather, I'm going to let you take that first.
Oh, three biggest things that I wish somebody would have told me before I started this. I wish somebody would have told me how attached I was going to get to each of these entrepreneurs. It's hard to be tough on them when at the same time you're trying to be mom to them, but we found a happy balance. But I didn't see that coming. Let's see, and my background is predominantly corporate, so the last minute things, didn't see that coming, but that's there tend to be a lot of last minute opportunities and last minute challenges to overcome, and how different every day was going to be, which all three of those things at the end of the day were very exciting for me. I just didn't know that's what I was getting myself into when I came over here and agreed to start helping out with Project Music.
So entrepreneurship is a whole different world from the corporate world. So what were the three biggest positive lessons out of the process?
I think the three positive lessons I'm going to sum it all up in one positive lesson and experience. Having come from the Nashville music community, I really believe in the community and the power of said community. And yes, I want to beat my competition, but I want to help them get over that finish line right alongside me, or, you know, right along behind me might be a better way to say it. And the biggest success and passion point for me was being able to share that feeling of community with these startups and then watching them become a community and family in their own right and still carrying that through 6 months after the program is over the way they are.
So you want everyone to succeed, you just want to come in first. I love
that's
that.
One way to put it. Yeah,
I love that.
We'll cross the finish line together.
Yeah. As long as they just need to be a quarter inch behind us when they cross, right?
winning by a nose or what is it? When a photo finish, that's fine. You just still want everyone to win. You just want to be first. I love that. So,
Chris, life is a game. Life is a game of inches, and as long as we're the one inch ahead, we're good to go.
So what was it, Chris? You called it co-opetition?
Co-opetition.
Co-opetition, right. Okay. So what were your three biggest lessons, Chris, coming in? You know, you've never run a business. You're going through this program. You have this innovative idea. And the three things you didn't know, you didn't know. What were they?
We have another interview, right?
Yeah.
if I were to sum it up, I think courage, you know. I wish I would have gotten started in entrepreneurship. I would have had the courage to start earlier. In other words, I guess the lesson there is that even I can do it, you know. As far as another lesson, with innovation comes growth, and that includes the growth of this town, this mm-hmm. city. And so the lesson learned is even though you love living 30 miles away, it's going to take you 2 hours to get into town each day. I would have bought a house in a different location perhaps. That ties into time. And in regards to time is, as entrepreneurs, I think we tend to want to do everything ourselves. And so learning to lean on others is a good thing. It's not a weakness. You can't start that early enough. And so always surrounding yourself with people that are better than you. Being the least talented person in the room is a good thing. Those are, I think, the top three lessons learned.
So what were the three most positive aspects of what you've come through it, you're looking back, and what were the three biggest things that you're taking away from the program?
Well, you know, in the entrepreneurship, we always talk about assumptions. And, we tend to get very scientific about it and in testing those assumptions. And one of the assumptions we had going into it is that even in Nashville, Country Music USA genre is not as big a deal as people think. In fact, that is a invention of the industry itself, right? What has been incredible has been, for a while there, I joked, CMA was and continues to be one of the lead sponsors with Project Music. And, you know, we were joking about, is CMA the Classical Music Association? You know, and the CEO of the CMA, you know, like, she very clearly articulated when I made that joke of how in order to exist, in order to be a forward-thinking company and forward-thinking industry, we've got to think beyond genres. And so that was fantastic learn and to see that lived out, you know. The support that I felt as a unabashed classical community or company has just been amazing. And then the other big assumption that we learned is that if you focus on the hardest problem, then you solve other problems along the way. And so by focusing on classical music metadata and seeing the win for all genres has been incredibly encouraging. You know, I talk a lot about classical music, but we distribute all genres of music. If you're an artist and you want to be in iTunes and Spotify, Amazon and Google, etc., you know, that's what we do. We can help you there, and we can help you better than anyone else, you know. So basically moving beyond genres was a big lesson learned as well.
So if you had to give three recommendations to people coming into the program, what would you tell them that kind of homework that they should be doing and how their mindset, something of that nature, that to get them to hit the ground running in January?
I would say if you've been in the startup world at all, you've come across the term MVP, or minimum viable product. And basically what that means is get something in front of customers. And if you're applying to Project Music, then your customer is Project Music. So don't wait till it's perfect, because it's never going to be perfect, but get something in front of someone and let them give you feedback, and be ready to have your baby called ugly, you know, and I'm serious. And then listen would be the last thing is always have an open mind, and if you're listening and you're iterating, then that's going to take you a long way.
That's great. Now, Heather, something that you said in your lessons learned about not realizing you were going to get that emotionally connected to everybody that was in the program, that's an important thing that people often don't realize in how investment decisions are made, how other resources are out there. So you're investing in Chris, the person, as much as you are in his technology, right? And that's something that the incoming people and the applicants should be thinking about?
And most definitely. The team is actually a larger factor than the idea that the team is bringing to the table. It could be a mediocre idea, but we believe in the team. And then our job is, once they get into the accelerator, is to help them experience the pain points and see the pain points that the industry truly has, and how they can make take their idea from being mediocre to great, and then deliver on that idea. So yes, the team is more the priority than the idea itself. So as Chris said, getting an MVP, having something that you can put in front of people is part of it, but being the team, having a team, and this is music tech driven, so having somebody on the team that's technology driven is also very important.
So the application period is open till, you said, November 6th, I believe?
That's correct.
And they can go to your website, which is projectmusic.co?
That is correct as well.
And all the information is there. The links are there. If they have questions, do they reach out to you, Heather, or where do they go with more questions?
There is actually a form on that website where they can send questions in. That's the best way to go, because my inbox is a joke. So the Project Music inbox keeps all the questions together so that we can get them answered in a timely fashion.
That's great. And I want to thank you both for being on the program today and wish you guys continued success. And Chris, your website again is dartmusic.com.
Dartmusic.com. Go sign up. We'll get your music in iTunes today.
That sounds good. And if they sign up by October 31st, you said there's no cost for that album, right?
That's right. No cost for the first year.
For the first year. Well, again, thank you both for being on the program. And everyone, until next time, stay focused on the important things.
Thank you, Lee.
Thank you.
Community Radio is supported by listeners like you. Organizations and companies in our community. Focus Resources supports Focus on Business and is our underwriter for today's program. We'd like to thank Focus Resources, and if you'd like to learn more about this organization that supports WCFM and underwrites Focus on Business, you can visit their website, focusresourcesinc.com. Thanks to Focus Resources and all the station's underwriters.
Focus on Business and WCOM-FM are proud to support the Ronald McDonald House of Durham. To learn more about the Ronald McDonald House of Durham, visit their website at www.ronaldhousedurham.org. That's www.ronaldhousedurham.org, or give them a call at 919-281-1065. WCOM-FM and Focus on Business are proud to support Make-A-Wish of Eastern North Carolina, serving the Triangle. Make-A-Wish of Eastern North Carolina is your community Make-A-Wish. To learn more about what Make-A-Wish is doing, visit their website at www.eastnc.wish.org.